From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 626, Application Insights with guest Isaac Levin, recorded Friday, January 4th, 2019. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. We're going to be chatting today with Isaac Levin, who is an application development manager in the Microsoft Premier Services, and he has over 10 years experience working as a developer for the web, mostly in the Microsoft ecosystem. And when he isn't helping customers get the most from Microsoft products, he contributes to Microsoft documentation in the .NET and ASP.NET space, as well as other open source projects, and occasionally blogs about things that interest him. He likes to wind down from work at his home in Norwalk, Connecticut, with his wife, Ariana, and their two sons, Isaac and Avery. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And always happy to have the PFEs on, because Premier Services, you guys, you're doing the work. You're out in the field.
Yeah, so my role is actually a little bit different than PFE. So okay. We're the people that are in charge of dispatching the PFEs.
Oh, right? I see.
So like, you know, like some of the more famous PFEs like Christos,
yes.
Who's not a PFE anymore.
Nope.
But so like, we're responsible for working with the customer, seeing where they need help in certain areas, and then dispatching PFEs in a proactive manner.
If you think it's necessary.
Yeah, well, if you think it's necessary. Sometimes you can do a little bit of the work yourself. Me being a pretty technical guy, I like to do some of the stuff myself. But
sure.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not going to get into WinDBG, where else, you know, there's some PFEs that can get deep into WinDBG.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, just, you know, go at it, man.
There are experts for such a purpose. Hey, I want to read a comment from a listener. And this comes off of the Subsea Data Center show I did with Ben Cutler. It was show 597. Back in August of 2018. And of course, this is the super cool, crazy Project Natick project where they're building data centers that you can sink into the sea. And the whole idea being that they'll be nice and close to cities, right? You don't have to buy land. You can actually build these things faster. Like, that's all the theory. And this, I did this show shortly after they had done the installation out in the Orkney Islands. And they were planning on leaving that thing down there for 5 years.
Yeah, I think, well, that's a pretty cool thing. I think, like, exactly what you said, being able to have a, this is the corniest thing ever, data center in a box,
yeah.
Right? Like, just, hey, let's just drop one here. Because obviously, you're well aware, the process to build up a data center is very, very challenging sometimes.
Yeah, time-consuming and expensive. Getting the land, getting the power.
And if you can just have a shipping container that has all of your data center bits in there, you know, you can put it wherever you like.
Yeah, and super close to cities, because a lot of these cities have harbor, so it's easy to put it down there. Like, you can't argue with the power of the low latency being super local. And this comment comes from Brent Manners, who said, "This is an interesting idea to put a data center in the ocean, but oceans tend to destroy things. In some respects, you are swapping a changing problem, how to design a data center for a given location, for a harder, more consistent problem, designing a data center that survives in the ocean. It could be worth the investment to solve the harder problem that you can use the solution time and time again. I guess that's the point of the project." And I think, you know, Brett hits it square on. Yeah, the ocean is remarkably persistent. The good news is that we often forget about this. It's like, data centers aren't forever. The building might be, but they tend to swap out all the gear every few years. So I got to imagine they're just going to take these cylinders that have all the servers and stuff in them, and they're just going to bring them back up and dismantle, you know, send them off to a service that's going to dismantle them and drop a new one in its place.
Well, sure. Well, think about what we already are putting in the ocean, right?
Right.
So, obviously, the internet is in the ocean.
Yep.
Right? Like, all of the fiber lines that connect the entire world together, they're sitting in the ocean.
Yep.
So, what is the service around those, right? Because, obviously, fiber wires can go bad eventually,
mm-hmm.
Right? So, what does that process look like? I'd imagine at the same scale as, hey, let's get this, like you said, a tube out of the ocean, wire it up, send it to some salvage type of industry or salvage type service, and, you know, just drop another one in. Because at the point, like, you don't want, like, to be fair, data centers are kind of a, you know, they're a commodity product, right? Like, you know, racks are racks are racks. And,
well, and I understand Microsoft just leases them now anyway. Like, they make a deal with a Dell or an HP or whoever's building those racks, and it's like, you bring them in, they run for this many years, we pay you this much for them, and then you take them away. And I got to think they'll get the same place with these undersea models too.
Yeah, I think so. And it'll be interesting to see in 5 years, you know, maybe that's a thing where they have them off the, because obviously it'd be very challenging to put some data centers on land in particular areas of the world.
Sure.
Right? And if you can drop something off the coast of, say, Antarctica,
right?
Then you have an Antarctica data center, which is hilarious to think about. But, you know, there's entities in Antarctica that would probably be of use to a data center.
They're going to need an undersea cable down there, too. That's a whole other can of worms.
Well, yeah. Maybe Antarctica is not the best example. But I do think that being able to drop it in the ocean or in some body of water that's not on land, it might even have create situations where you can iterate on creating more data centers faster.
Yeah.
Instead of having to lease land and build the things, you have hundreds of these containers just available.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what they're built out of. I haven't looked that much into it, but I imagine, you know,
it looks like a submersible, right? Like it looks like a steel, you know, pressure cylinder. It's not, and they're not huge either. Like you think about how big those compute units that Azure typically uses. I think these are smaller. Maybe they'll get bigger.
Yeah.
But the cooling is incredibly efficient because they're just doing straight heat exchange. Like, it's pretty smart. It's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, I think, and again, you know, it's still a very immature concept.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting in 5 years or maybe even sooner what comes of this. And obviously, I think Microsoft is thinking about things years and years ahead, at least in this particular area.
Hope so. Very cool. Let's dive into it because you are the Application Insights guy.
Really the Application Insights guy?
Well, you're one of the they changed the name now, right? It's Azure Monitor now.
So Azure Monitor is the replacement for an existing suite of tools called OMS, which stands for Operations Management Suite.
Okay.
So that brand is being retired and it's being repurposed or renamed or whatever you want to call it to Azure Monitor. And Application Insights is just a piece of that, right?
So there's,
you're still going to have all of the other things as a part of OMS. So log analytics and, you know, deep telemetry on things that aren't application related. And think of Application Insights as the programming or developer, and I know this is a, you know, more geared toward IT pros, but it's a very developer-centric, you know, insights collecting mechanism. Not to say that IT pros can't take advantage of it.
Well,
but
that was the whole point, right? Is devs write notoriously bad logging, and having an operations guy be able to understand what an app's doing in production. I mean, this is where New Relic and Dynatrace and like all those guys even come from, right? It's like, I, as an ops guy, I'm trying to understand why we're having performance problems with this app and I don't get to look at the code.
It's very funny, your comment about developers hate logging, right? Or they're terribly bad at it. Well, as somebody who's been a developer and a server administrator in my career, it's very true, right? Like, as a developer, I want to write cool features. I want to, you know, solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like things like logging or even performance, like they unfortunately go by the wayside because we're so busy on shipping features, right?
Right.
So APM tools, you know, you mentioned Dynatrace or New Relic or AppDynamics. Application Insights is just another one of those tools, and it works beautifully well in the Azure ecosystem. And I think that's one of the main benefits of it. Your app doesn't have to be in Azure, and it doesn't need to be .NET code.
Right.
It just gives you another option, another tool in your tool belt to kind of do things, and like you said, get more logging for when things go wrong.
I also thought that was also the claim to whom for OMS, or I guess now called Monitor, which is it doesn't have to be Azure. It'll monitor all sorts of things.
Yeah. So one of the great things about App Insights is that if you're not a developer, you have multiple ways of getting your application, quote unquote, lit up with telemetry collection, right? If you have your application already hosted in an Azure app service or like the PaaS offering,
right?
It's simple as going through a wizard and clicking some buttons in the Azure portal, and then your app is extended with the telemetry collection stuff. But that's in the situation where you're not in Azure, right? So if you're in GCP or AWS, IBM Cloud, or even on-premise,
sure.
Microsoft provides a tool called the Status Monitor, which basically allows you to instrument an IIS application with App Insights without adding any additional code to it. It does some funky things, like it adds some DLLs to your bin directory and it adds some connected services, but there's no coding change required, aka I don't need to go to devs to get this done. But in the situation where you do want devs to come in, devs can obviously instrument the app using code,
right?
And you know, you can do that a couple of different ways.
And what are the options there? Like if I want to come at devs and saying, hey, I want better instrumentation, like what can we add to App Insights to make it look better?
So the instrumentation process, if you have the code and if you're a developer, it's basically in Visual Studio, you can right click add App Insights to it. It's actually really funny how easy it is.
Yeah, so there's really no excuse.
Yeah. So what that process looks like is there's actually two paths. So there's also a situation where maybe I don't want to have App Insights, like I don't want the whole, because what App Insights is it's a REST service that's
right.
deployed into Azure, right? So it's an app, App Insights resource. And in the situation, if you don't have an Azure subscription, or maybe you work for the federal government and there's concerns about, oh, let's not put our telemetry in the cloud,
right.
you can have a local only option.
Oh, for interesting. App Insights. Because it is just a REST service. It's just where you point it to.
Exactly, right? So when what the local only does is it shows you in the output window all the requests that's being made.
Okay.
So in the data storage behind the scenes for App Insights is just flattened JSON. So you can really send anything you want up to App Insights.
It also means that pretty much any app at all that I have code access to that I can ask a dev to output some JSON calls. Like that's just not that big a deal.
Yeah. So and obviously that App Insights works best for web applications,
right.
Just because the concept of REST is just native on the web.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a good story around Windows services, desktop applications, so console or WPF. And then App Insights is integrated into Visual Studio App Center, which is Microsoft's recommended platform for the whole suite of the mobile development lifecycle.
And the claim to fame for me for App Insights is it's the dashboards are done, that your ability to visualize what's going on. Like that's the hard part is,
yep.
I mean, we've all had reams and reams of log data. How do I make sense of this? What, how do I give an activity or point at a causal problem?
Exactly, right? So your listeners are well familiar with logs, right? So
yeah.
Whether the developer created logs or logs is Windows, parsing logs is a pain, right?
Yep.
So we've gone through a few iterations of how logs are collected. Like we went down the path of IIS logs and Windows logs.
Yep.
Then application extensions were introduced to like .NET development, so like Log4Net or Nlog to basically mm-hmm. get you logs in a more cohesive way. But you're still sending out just rows and rows of data, right?
Right, and it's still that art form of composing the log stream from layer to layer. I mean, each app service, each piece of the pie of a transaction has to log, and somehow you got to coordinate that stuff together. And that's what I think of Dynatrace. It's like their claim to fame was this started with this web page that called to that app service that called to this other service that called to this database call. And they would show you that chain.
Yeah, you're still and for the most part with logs, you're still responsible for, okay, I have all this log data, now what?
Yeah, how do I make sense of it?
App Insights, you literally go into the App Insights resource, you click a button that says dashboard, and then it generates a dashboard in your Azure portal with all sorts of cool stuff.
Nice.
Like performance degradation, particular entity hits, like endpoint hits if you have a REST service, exception information, session information, which usually includes like user demographics, like geolocated non-PII type of information.
Right.
And it just continues. And the biggest thing with App Insights is that most of that stuff is collected right out of the box.
Right.
So you instrument your app, you get just so much data, it's almost impossible to comprehend.
No, that's always the case. You're always buried.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think it's really great about App Insights is the thought of the unhandled exception, right?
Right.
Being able to, I see an exception and then I click on it and I can go through, hey, the user, they entered at this particular time, then maybe they're from Tunisia for whatever reason.
Yep.
And then they went down this path of execution and then this is the line of code that threw the application with no coding required. So as an IT professional, you can instrument your app. And maybe you're in a lower level environment, you're seeing, oh, why is this particular endpoint, throw exceptions, not all the time, but occasionally.
Occasionally, and unhandled at that, like literally killing, typically for a service like that, that service just dies at that point.
Yeah, it just kills the process, right?
And the customer has no explanation, it's just like, that didn't work.
Yeah, and you have you are able to look and see like a trace of the entire flow in that particular session,
right,
and maybe see a related events, and then you can get insights around, okay, maybe in these particular scenarios, this is what's causing the issue. I use, when I talk about App Insights with my customers or when I do it in the developer community, I use the Scott Hanselman example, right?
Mm-hmm.
He moved, I believe one of his either his podcast app or his blog website. He moved it over to .NET Core and he instrumented App Insights to it. He just did the click a bunch of buttons,
right,
and App Insights is instrumented. And he noticed that he was getting service degradation in like Indonesia or something like that.
Yeah.
Like they were getting, you know, 50th percentile, which is not good. And he would have never known that. One, he might not have known that there was a huge, you know, accumulation of people viewing his site in that area, but then he knew that their experience was terrible.
Right.
And being able to figure out why, oh, it's a CDN issue. And then, you know, you go through that process and then you're up and going. So
it's pretty impressive. And I'm pretty sure,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's his podcast. I'm pretty sure I was in the room while he was doing it.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing too,
yeah,
right? Is that, you know, we're almost spoiled in this world right now with being able to, you know, click through buttons and do things.
Yeah.
I feel like when I first started as a developer, which wasn't a long time ago, people have horror stories from way before I started being a developer of, oh, I had to do this and this and this and this. And then hopefully it just, you know, magically
maybe
fixed
it works.
Well, now it's just, now I can get a text message on my phone, heaven forbid, if something goes wrong, and
right,
it's got me a full stack trace in there and all sort of information. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're not working blind at all. And Isaac, I'm going to stop you for just a moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by SQL Intersection. 8 full-day workshops and over 40 technology-focused sessions make SQL Intersection a unique source of the best information around SQL Server from real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team. You'll learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as learn about the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, cloud, as well as new features in the latest version of SQL Server 2019. It's time to determine your migration strategy, and SQL Intersection is the place to figure out the best way to do it. Come to SQL Intersection at the Swan Hotel in Orlando, June 10th to 13th. Use code RUNAS to get your discount on your registration at SQLintersection.com. And we'll see you there. And we're back. It's RUNAS Radio. Richard Campbell talking to Isaac Levin. And we're talking about App Insights and the whole monitoring suite. And there's a couple of things I really want to drill into on this. One is, I've noticed this with App Insights, is that most of the time, the actual values of current performance are not as important as the sort of delta over past performance. Like, are we getting slower over time?
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that's really great about App Insights is that it gives you for free like a 90-day window of telemetry collection.
Right.
And then if you need more than 90 days, you have the ability to do what's called continuous export and then push those flattened JSON files to blob storage. And then from there, you can do whatever you want with them. So you can get that really long historical thing.
And you did say for free. Like, is there a paid option that goes longer?
So the paid option, how App Insights is priced is it's based on the ingress and outgress of data, right?
Right.
So the data coming in and out of the service, and that you get 1 gigabyte of flattened JSON a month for free.
Okay.
Which, you know, in most situations that aren't production, that's more than enough data,
yeah,
more than enough data, right?
But when it is production, that data represents money, so I'm willing to pay for it.
Yep, exactly, right? And I believe, don't quote me exactly on the price, because mm-hmm, I haven't looked at it in the last 2 days,
yeah,
but I believe it's like $2.40 each additional gigabyte per
right,
month,
okay, which is,
you know,
trivial. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pennies for an enterprise.
If it makes a difference for you to be able to project year over year, come on. You'll spend a couple $100 on that. It's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah, not at all.
What about the mobile story? I mean, we've been talking about web apps and possibly some desktop stuff, and I understand there's like supported SDKs for even Java.
Yep.
But Android, iOS, like what's the correct answer there?
So all of that is, so there's App Insights that actually is built into Visual Studio App Center.
Right.
So all you have to do is onboard your app into App Center, which is highly recommended by Microsoft.
And this is a dev activity. So I'm asking devs that are building mobile apps for the company, use App Center so that they can get the instrumentation in.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, the first question you want to ask is, are we using App Center right now? And if the answer is no, you know, maybe figure out why that's something that,
sure,
that isn't being done. And if there's a good reason for it, You know, there are some options around getting telemetry for your applications. You know, maybe
because I would think the next question then is, how are we going to get telemetry from these mobile devices? Because there are other choices, right? I mean, there is IBM's MDM solutions, and I think Preemptive had a thing for a while. Well, you guys bought Hockey App. That used to be the way. What happened to Hockey App?
Hockey App got, you know, it got, how do you want to phrase it? It basically got turned into App Center, right?
Okay. So that is Hockey App, basically, or morphed.
Yeah. With, you know, I think maybe some of the functionality of Hockey App got kind of absorbed by App Center.
Sure.
You know, App Center is probably I don't want to say Hockey App wasn't a robust solution, but App Center, it's just a continuation of that story, right? And again, it works with, you know, the whole suite of different, you know, mobile developments, so Android, iOS, UWP, and then Cordova, Xamarin, all the great stuff that mobile developers are dependent on.
Okay. So I think that's what I'm looking for from as an ops guy trying to convince dev that I need better instrumentation. It's like, this is just an SDK you add, or this is something I can insert myself, like, because they're only going to get so many cycles for instrumentation.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of steps once you're onboarded onto App Center. So you'll need to basically add tracking events for your logging mechanism, right? It doesn't work out of the box, unfortunately. But if you go ahead to docs.microsoft.com, you'll be able to see all sorts of good tutorials on setting that up for you.
That makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, I'm always fascinated as somebody who's led lots of projects with, are our new features even being used? And are they being used correctly? Like, can we show, if you really care about that whole DevOps movement, you want to show the value from the customer's perspective of a new feature. So that, to me, it means one thing to instrument for error, okay, unhandled exceptions, that kind of thing. It's another thing to instrument for performance. Are we still delivering the quality, the SLA we expected, so forth? But this utilization question, I think it's another level.
Yeah. And again, one of the big selling points to App Insights is that it has deep integration with Power BI, which, as if you're familiar with, which you are obviously, has a lot of ease of use visualizations, right? So being able to click one button and you see, you know, maybe user demographics saying you can get a pie chart with just a few clicks of, oh, these are all the different areas of the world that my apps are hit.
Right.
And maybe you can drill down and say, oh, these are in these particular areas of the world, these particular sections of my application are hit.
Right.
And obviously, that's just a canned report from App Insights.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use Log Analytics, which is the querying mechanism that you can use to build App Insights queries. You can write any query you'd like using like a SQL-like language and be able to export that report into Power BI. One of the demos that I like to show people is, you know, I write 5 lines of code and I have like a pie chart with a whole bunch of cool stuff in it. And I'm like, you know, think about 5 years ago, you'd have to go ask some poor SRI guy to put that together for you. And he just said, I got other stuff going on.
Well, yeah, go to the bottom of the stack, kid. Like, no report builder ever got all the way through his to-do list, like, ever.
Yeah. No. There's guys that still are working through, you know, some I have a couple of customers that use SSRS heavy, not because they're turned off of Power BI, but because just the thought of, hey, we have this huge backlog of reports and we're iterating over them. We don't want to have to just move everything over to a new tool.
Right.
And I'm not saying Power BI is like the perfect replacement for SSRS.
No.
You know, SSRS still has a ton of value.
Yeah.
But as it pertains to getting really quick visualizations for our customers that they can enjoy, you know, Power BI is pretty awesome. And App Insights just plays so well with it.
Well, that's always the battle with these kinds of different reporting approaches is, if I'm looking at the performance of a new feature, like that's a very temporary report. I'm going to care about that for a quarter on the outside, and then I'm going to work on the next feature and the next thing. So, but as opposed to, these are how we report to the government. This is how we report to our audit bodies. Like, those are much more serious reports.
Sure. Yeah. And being able to, you know, save off those reports in some capacity is immensely important, right? Yeah, especially when you talked about auditing, right? They're not just going to say, okay, show us the last year of stuff. They're going to say, okay, show us the last year of stuff, and then show us the last 5 years of stuff.
Sure. And also show me how you're pulling that data. Like, you know, good auditors are pretty specific on, you're not polishing this too much. This is really the data that you have.
Yeah, well, some of the most rich companies in the world, they built their entire business off of auditing, right? And
yeah,
you know, they still do it to this day.
Yeah, it's still pretty serious aspect to everything that goes on in there. What other aspects do we need to think about in terms of insights and analysis? And we've mentioned mobile. We've talked about the desktop side. Talked a bit about the web side. And you use the example of Scott Hanselman's CDN problem, but that whole being able to instrument what's being served by a CDN or not. And like now you're talking about third-party products. Will they feed to the same set of reports?
So one of the things with App Insights is that out of the box, you get a handful of different telemetry, I guess you can call them nodes or pillars, right?
Okay.
And one of them is dependencies, right? So whether your application, it hits a CDN or it hits a third-party web service or it hits a SQL database, all those dependency traces are tracked and you can actually see, you know, the request response for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feeds into this, you know, this huge aggregation of data that comes out of the box. So like request and response information, we talked about performance a little bit earlier, exceptions, and all of it just kind of gets bundled up and kind of mashed together using correlation IDs.
Mm-hmm.
So like in your particular scenario, hey, I'm having a CDN issue. You can look at a request, you can look at the CDN call, you can look at the performance, what the memory was in that
right.
particular thing, and all the way down the line. And in certain scenarios, you can actually get that trace, you know, and it comes as an ETL file, and you can iterate over it even more.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
For the most part, the fact that you can see that there was a call to a CDN and you know how long it took.
Yep, exactly.
Which really means the instrumentation is landing on the web page in question and sort of sending you back the telemetry that way.
Yeah. And one of the things that App Insights, it uses AI, obviously, like everything, how Microsoft uses AI now.
Apparently.
To basically build a more rich correlation between everything, right? Like being able to, obviously, if this was just, because a lot of people, they say, oh, there's a lot of magic involved. Well, sure, it's just a REST API, but the REST API does some really cool things and then has some other cool things once it actually gets to the data. And one of the things that's really cool about it is that it will just recommend things too. Like, hey, it looks like your application has some performance degradation. Like I get notifications on some of my apps that have App Insights on them.
Right.
Hey, we noticed, you know, in West Europe, you're having, you know, 75% degradation, and I have to go and figure out why. But I get that information sent to me instead of some angry person saying, hey, why does it take 3 seconds to load my app?
When it used to take a second.
Exactly.
Right. And then you're as much questioning the person's judgment as you are questioning the data itself. And I've certainly gotten those emails for some of my websites too, where it's interesting to see, and I hate the term AI because it just sounds spooky, but it's a machine learning model where it's looking for exceptions and maybe comparing them across. I mean, one of the advantages that these public cloud services have is you have all these apps and you can see all these different variations. So you sort of pick up on trends of things.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing, right? Is being able to see insights and trends on things,
right?
Because it's well documented that computers are far faster at iterating over things than human beings are.
Right.
So might as well put them to use before they take over the world.
Don't get cynical now. I mean,
yeah, right.
We're gonna be okay. Where should folks get started? What's the right way to approach getting it? If you have not already using App Insights, where do you start?
So the easiest way, obviously, is by going to the docs. So docs.microsoft.com/azure/application-insights. I'd imagine. We can put something in the show notes around.
We will.
Some of the
links.
So that will show you a lot of things. It'll introduce you to Azure Monitor if you don't have any familiarity with it, and how App Insights comes into play. And there's a really good diagram of, you know, what App Insights means as it pertains to the greater suite of Azure Monitor. And then it kind of goes through some of the quick starts that you can do as somebody who owns the code versus who doesn't own the code, and, you know, different ways for you to look at some of that data in different ways. You know, one thing that's interesting that I've seen recently is this concept of distributed tracing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have multiple applications that are maybe in multiple different, you know, data centers. They're, you know, think of maybe like a microservice type model, right?
Right.
And you have all these different APIs and they're all doing all these things. Distributed tracing allows you to basically continue the flow of logic from one area to the other, and you can correlate everything together. And it's not a ton of work. It's actually supported out of the box.
Well, and it's something I'm definitely concerned about. You know, we're having these conversations now about what part of this app's running in a VM, what's been moved to containers, what is now a set of serverless functions. And
yep.
For me, from an ops perspective, I'm like, how do I measure all of that? How do I know what parts are working and what aren't?
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about distributed tracing is that it just does it for you.
Nice.
Like, and there's a whole lot of information about distributed tracing. The biggest thing to call out is that there's kind of two flavors of distributed tracing. There's using the App Insights SDK, which is it's a Microsoft developed set of libraries to work with. And also distributed tracing, it has open census support, which is that the new open source way of libraries to do these sort of things. And Microsoft collaborates with them on there.
Talk to me a bit about the open census. What is this?
So open census it's kind of really hard to explain. I think you can probably have an entire show about it, but just think of it as a way for applications to conversate with each other via local forwarding. And, there's full support of that with App Insights.
Interesting. So it just speaks to this broader view of instrumentation across platforms, across products. This is just more of that. Oh, and I see the link here from Nick Molnar, who's an old friend of the show. So maybe we just have to bug Nick to dive deep on this.
Yeah, and it's something that, one thing to call out. So AWS has something that they're looking at. They have this concept of service mesh, right?
Yeah.
They just announced that at their last, big event.
Mm-hmm.
And that's using Open Census.
Great.
So, we're seeing this trend is all of the different providers are looking to accommodate some of these more open source type of things. And it's only going to make, the community more enabled to do these great things.
If Amazon, Microsoft, and Google as cloud providers all agree on things, and I look at Kubernetes as one of them, and now Open Census is one of them, then you can pretty much guarantee that's going to be a skill worth acquiring because the big players all use it.
Yeah, and I think as the world moves, obviously containers and the concept of microservices mm-hmm. and all these sort of things are very hot right now in the industry. And the biggest question that I have for my customers is, okay, that's great. I have all these apps and containers, but if I'm doing everything the same way, right? I saw a pretty interesting Twitter post about, DevOps with microservices, right? And one approach was, hey, just have a huge DevOps pipeline that does everything and the analytics is all wired up. And then somebody had an interesting comment. So microservices is a monolith then? So the concept of everything kind of goes together at the same time is the exact reason why you don't microservice.
Right.
Or the reason why you do microservice.
Yes. So,
and when it comes to your analytics, you want all that data tied together.
Mm-hmm.
But you also don't want everything to be completely responsible independent on one version of all your microservices shouldn't be V1, right?
Yes.
That's not how to properly microservice. But from an analytics perspective, you want to be able to collect one data point and it just collects and gets all the information from all these different microservices and then gives you something that's valuable to your customers.
Absolutely. Isaac, great stuff. And I hope it helps get people moving in the direction of how I can measure all these things, whether I run them in the cloud or not.
Yeah, no, and like you said, I might not be the App Insights guy, but my customers love it, and everybody that I talk to, whenever they see it, they think it's kind of magic, and to me, it is magic.
Awesome. Isaac Levins, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.